Yeah, Groundhog Day edition of Message in the Bottle. Brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street, downtown Bangor. We welcome in Eric Meehan. Good day, sir.
You know, Rich, Terry, when Chekhov saw the long winter, he saw winter bleak and dark and bereft of hope. Yet we know that winter is just another step in this cycle of life. But standing here among the people of Punxsutawney and basking in the warmth of their hearths and hearts, I couldn't imagine a better fate than talking with Rich and Carrie. Groundhog Day. I'm Eric Meehan. I can't say so long. I got like 10 more minutes to talk.
Sounds like somebody who watched the movie today.
Oh, I cried and laughed more on this viewing, which has got to be not in the number of days that Bill went through, but or Phil, either way. But at least numbering in the 20s or 30s at this point, at 42 years of age. No surprise to anyone out there, but good friend of the show, Stephen Ned Ryerson. My son's favorite part is when he gets smacked. Ned Ryerson? Boom! I'm like, of course. That was what you took away from that film.
Yeah, what's the best part?
What's great about being one of the certainly less well-known members of your Legion of Stars, it's so fun when your guests pop up and you realize why they're famous. My daughter was like, about Steven, he was in Garfield. He was in The Lorax. He was the voice. I'm like, IMDb'd him. I'm like, you're right. Wow. Busy man, that Steven. It's really cool when you stumble on something like Groundhog Day, which is obviously just this tremendous star turn for a character actor like him, and you're like, that's why he's famous.
Yeah.
That's one of the best roles ever. So easy. All you got to do is just walk across the street a couple times. Gone.
Yeah.
And you need the signature line. You need the bing. You need to watch that first step. It's a doozy, and you're in for life. I felt that quote was particularly apt because today we talk about we start with this whole month February. We start to talk about purity in wine and where the stuff in your glass comes from, and I always like to start to talk about it with the life cycle of the grape, etc. And of course, on a day like this, this is a very, I usually start the life cycle of the grape in winter. And indeed, this is it's certainly not the most horrible storm any of us have ever seen, which is fine with me. Whoever, snow gods are listening, it's fine with me. Don't teach me a lesson or anything. it's tremendous how a dark winter day, reminds me as much of anything of wine, because these are sort of the days that are really the most important in viticulture. We'll talk a little bit about that in a sec. But stepping back for a second, like I said, this is sort of where we start to talk about the life cycle of wine. And of course, we've been talking, especially now, there's these buzzwords of natural and pure but people don't really understand, I think, where you find purity, and where you don't necessarily find purity, and naturality. So, this month is sort of dedicated to try and, untwist some of the myths, etc. So let's talk about grapes. Grapevines are perennials, right? And for those of you who aren't green thumbs, and Lord knows I'm not particularly, that means they die off in winter and rebloom every year, right? Perennials. Why is that important? Well, you can sort of predict it, which is nice. And, for those of us who are fond of science, it's sort of the juxtaposition of actual science and also praying to God that, things don't happen naturally that will ruin your product, including at this time of year. Obviously, the grapes are dormant, but coming up very, very soon in a lot of parts of the world, the spring thaw will start to happen. But right now, this is the dormancy, right? And that feels very much apt for us right now. It's the winter dormancy for grapevines. But what you're doing right now, if you're a wine grower, is you're out in the vineyards pruning and selectively picking the shoots that you think will be the most beneficial to leave on the vine. And so if you've ever been to a vineyard of any size in, say, February, you will see large piles, essentially, of discarded grape vine appendages that were simply, they said, we're going to stick with this shoot here and this shoot here. Depending on how they're formed according to the wine growers and how they're laid out, and then they'll just cut off everything else, and then they'll set tremendous fires, which are really fun in the middle of winter, frankly, because it's cold in a lot of the wine growing areas. I'll remind people that cool air in the nighttime, especially, and warm air in the summers are what helps. That cool air turns into cooler air in the winter, and even in a lot of places that you might think are kind of balmy, they're not so much at this time of year. So what comes up next, and what we're looking for in places like California right now, warmer parts of Europe, is that there's going to be the thaw, and then there's going to be what we call bud break. And that is the time when all the people who grow grapes are down on their knees saying, please don't let there be a frost. Please don't let there be a frost. Because as anybody who grows things knows, frosts really muck up your plans for growing things. They kill any of the buds, perhaps. And so you will see, and it's a tremendous sight if anybody ever sees it, in a lot of places they will fire up huge kilns and sort of modified flamethrowers, or they'll have a little, hot pots that they'll go around in the vineyards and try to keep the vineyards warm enough so that they don't frost, because that's your money for the whole year. So it's a real dangerous time. And then you get the tendrils and then tiny grapes, and you start to grow leaves. And then you're starting to talk about canopy management, cutting the leaves so that you get maximum ripeness or minimum ripeness. There's lots of decisions in the spring in terms of how you want your grapes to potentially mature. How am I doing on time?
We must have about four left.
Okay. After that mid-spring, you're starting to just kind of let nature take its course. You're checking every day. You're trimming back, again, doing this canopy management. You're getting flowers. Very beautiful time. And then in mid to late summer, you get Veraison. Veraison is this French term that basically means, to borrow a term from Stephen Colbert, truthiness. it's the time when red grapes turn red. They all start as sort of, we all have seen, younger fruit of any kind, and it's, it's kind of green, small, whatever, and then it ripens and matures. And this is the time when grapes show their truthfulness, when what they are truly. And then you're talking about ripeness. So you're measuring the liquids to solids, and the solids, most of them are sugar. There's some other trace minerals, but basically you're doing sugar to water, and that's a measurement called Brix. And you're checking for ripeness. And some people want to pick before things are fully ripe because they want to retain acidity. Very often champagne houses, for instance, they want very tart grapes because the process of method champenoise turns it from a very tart thing into a very lush thing. I don't have to tell anybody who's ever had fine champagne. It's not the enamel searing experience of trying the base wines. And I've been lucky enough to try the base wines that go into champagne blends, and they are very why would you want to do this to yourself? But it's not what you do to yourself. It's the beginning of the process of making champagne. And then, of course, We have harvest and crush, fermentation, maturation, bottle, aging, travel, and then drinking. So there's a lot of steps. This is my point for this whole month is that's just in the vineyard before you even pick the grape. And there are lots of choices that you can make in that vineyard before you pick the grape, how you treat that vineyard. Are you using any kind of chemicals? Are you not using chemicals? Are you using chemicals only as a last resort, et cetera, et cetera? So lots of things to keep in mind, and we'll explore it more this month. I did want to mention, before I run out of time, tonight at 6 p.m., myself, Summer Allen from Valentine Footwear, will be bringing back the Destination Downtown Bangor Facebook Live series.
Woo!
Get that on the Downtown Bangor page, going live at 6 p.m. Tonight we'll be interviewing Bob and Suzanne Kelly, who are the landlords of my building, but also are the owners of House Revivers. They are they have been instrumental in what we have all seen, the reclamation of our beautiful downtown, as well as being just awesome landlords. So we'll be talking to them. Then also, I did want to mention next Wednesday we'll drop Tasting Notes, which is a collaboration between myself and the Bangor Symphony. And it will be a precursor to their digital season, and it will feature next Wednesday. It'll be available for viewing for some time, but it'll feature winemaker Andre Mack, who is one of America's foremost black winemakers, a really cool guy who's trying to turn the stodgy, white-dominated world of wine on its end and make people realize that wine is just meant to have a good time, damn it. Cool guy. He's going to join us, and Maestro Richmond. So do check that out. And I guess as I run out of time, keep masking up, keep doing the right thing, and we'll look forward to seeing you either in the store or any of our curbside and delivery options.
Bing. That's a good plan indeed. Thank you, sir.
Bing. All righty. Thanks, gentlemen.
You bet. See you, Eric. Eric Mann, Bangor. That too. Eric Mann from Bangor Wine and Cheese, Message in the Bottle every Tuesday here on Downtown.